live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. Also on Periscope, at TotalTutor. And my guests, I'll have to ask if they're on Periscope. I was really into it, and now I'm just so busy, I don't even have time for Periscope. But someday, I guess next television taping or whatever, I'll be able to do it. But I'm telling you, this is my favorite show, ultimately, because it's so interesting what hidden treasure is going to come up. I get my kids to watch the show, all these things. And I said, when I first started watching, I got to have a celeb on this show. But to get you guys, this is phenomenal. So I'm excited to welcome to the program celebrities Dan and Laura Dotson from the hit TV show Storage Wars. How are you guys?
We appreciate you being a fan, too. And we're really blessed.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a fantastic show. The thing I love is you never know what's going to come in the next storage shed. And let me give you a little bit of a background. I know the storage game just because never did an auctioneer thing. But we went from a 3-bedroom house to a 4-bedroom house we built. But however, from like 1,800 square feet till about 3,000. But we had to move into a 2-bedroom apartment with 3 kids and 2 cats, and we had to put everything else in storage. So I lived over at a storage unit in Pittsburgh for I went so many different times. And when the show came out, I just got a kick out of it because I said I lived just moving stuff from one place to another. And Dan, that's what people do all the time, don't they? They keep most of their stuff in storage, it seems like.
You know, it's just like an addiction, man. It's, you know, and the whole nation is all about storing our stuff. And the industry is a really cool industry that we work with that lets us inside of that thing, that process, that modern-day treasure hunt that you don't know what's inside the box. It's like Forrest Gump's chocolate box in life. I really like that every day. And Laura and I are blessed to be part of it.
You know, this underground world that really nobody really knew about. It was just kind of this hidden thing. They're all storage auctions. What is that? And truly, some of the most unique characters have come, you know, in our lives. And you see right on the show, those are real bona fide buyers that, you know, some of us I've known over 20 years. I've been with Danny for 19, and I absolutely, I don't feel like I'm working. I feel like I'm on a treasure hunt every day. I'm meeting wonderful people, and I love what I do, and I'm with my husband. And, you know, hey, we're on TV.
No, exactly. And so I want to know the story. I talk to so many reality television stars and how that story comes about and different things. And tell us specifically, Dan, how this opportunity came your way, especially with you guys being the auctioneers of this, because you're the ones that are opening up going to each place and auctioneering at each one of the lockers at the different storage units. Tell us how this came about, where you're asked to be on the show.
Well, you know what? All the planets were lined up, and God's really blessed us and everybody on this show. That's not true. We, you know, back in 07 and 08, we were putting stuff on YouTube. We were filming with a little 3-chip camera in our facilities and not showing some facility names and showing other facility names. And, you know, it's like 98% of their liability for this industry and 2% of the income. So they didn't really want to film their auctions because, God, what if somebody did something wrong? Well, we try not to do anything wrong. We try to do it within the law. Nobody's selling anybody's stuff before they have to. And the last thing the industry wants to do is sell people stuff. So we're on YouTube. And 09 came along, and the economy really took a dive. And we had ABC and NBC and KBT all get a hold of us, wanted to do a economy story feature, American Auctioneers. Dean Dotson, Laura and I as exclusive auctioneers on that, we said, absolutely, that would be fine. And after that, we had a lot of production companies and networks get a hold of us. And Tom Beers with Original Productions, that we're on A&E now, they were the third production company that Laura and I had to deal with. And it was just kind of awesome how it all worked. I mean,
there was a total of 26 different production companies.
Wow.
In an 8-month period. And we were serious, you know, about a program because some of the shows they had produced. And then, you know,
we were doing a little consulting with True TV and Bike TV with the other shows. And, you know, we still had time left in our contract.
And Danny, I think, also being a real bona fide third generation here, that, you know, I want to share this with the world, but I don't want to lose my income, you know. And for instance, if we do this show, like, TV might be putting stuff out that seems kind of far-fetched. I'm all about being the real thing.
Yeah, I'm a legitimate man guy, and, you know, and all we have is our word, and I can't be on TV doing crap. It's not real.
My husband says, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to show it how I am the maverick. I am absolutely a man's man. I'm going to do it. And I said, you know, Danny, you need Tom Beard. He goes, well, who's Tom Beard?
And that was funny because she explained to me, you know, she's kind of selling herself a little short. She actually woke up from a dream one time, and we had this company called Go Go Lucky. That was our first production company, and we had 40, 50 days left in our contract. Laura wakes up from a dream, and she didn't want to say it, so I'll say it for her. She has these prolific dreams, and she'll write them down in her book.
Oh, wow.
Woke up one morning, says, I'm not going to worry about Go Go Lucky. I had a dream last night. She's writing. I said, well, what was it? She goes, well, she goes, we're going to have a company approach us on September 2nd, and they're going to be called A to Z Productions. And she goes, and she wrote down in her book, they're going to have offices in New York, Miami, Memphis, and L.A., and on October 14th, they're going to sell us stitches to the network that's going to pick us up. Thank God she underlines it twice. Wow, what a dream, right? Well, September 2nd comes along, and I get an email, not from A to Z Productions, but from North South Production, and they have offices in New York, Miami, L.A. They don't have one in Memphis, Tennessee, but they have an office in Knoxville, Tennessee. Close enough for me, right? So I tell everybody around me, Mama had a dream, we're going to go that way. Then what happens, October 13th, I get an email. Hey, we're pitching you to the History Channel tomorrow. Well, sure you are. Mom already dreamt that. Great. That day comes and goes. We don't hear any. Laura has another dream. She says, wakes up, she goes, you know what? I had a dream last night that North South Productions put our tape, our film, they put our stuff inside of a cabinet. I don't know what that means. But, you know, and I said, well, maybe you should call them. She calls them up. This production company, they have two auction shows in the works, ours and another auction house concept. Well, they mistook Laura, the wife of the wrong auctioneer, and they tell her, hey, the network loves the auction house concept. They're going to pick it up. Laura comes right back. And what about the storage? They don't figure out who she is yet. They give her a negative response. She's almost bawling. She goes, what do you mean you can have two shows? What's the name of the other show? And this guy starts to backpedal, and he says, what's the name of the other show? We don't have a name yet. And Laura's got to bawl. She hangs up the phone. She prays out loud, God, please send us to Tom Beers. I swear to God, that's how that went down, Neil.
Oh, my
Three
gosh.
Weeks later, a guy comes to my sale, and he goes, you ever think about doing a reality show? And I looked at him. He said, you're number 16, baby. What's your name? He hands me his card. It's Tom Beers. I almost pass out right there. I look at him. And I said, you are the guru. You can turn this stuff into gold. And Mama prayed to God you'd come here, and here you are. And that's how it all worked out. And Tom Beers is the maverick, and he knew that, you know, it's what's in the box, what's legitimate.
And that's the big thing.
A&E owns history. Yeah. So, you know, there was actually a fellow named Dave McKillop that was with A&E, and he was with History Channel. A&E owns history, and our show just kind of, and our concept just kind of got put off until a later date when he actually happened to be at A&E, and that's why we got picked up for A&E.
And we're with the right producer.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, Original Productions is magic with this stuff. They can take a perfectly boring situation and make it beautiful.
You know, the Jeff Conroy, Tom Beard, you know, and Phil Spiegel and the people that they have behind them with these shows, Guaranteed Gold, Deadliest, and I Throw Truckers and Axemen, I mean, have all been, you know, have been on people's minds. They've been, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, and we're ready to roll into our 9th season.
Yeah, we've got a great executive producer, Jeff Baumgartner, that's at the helm on our show.
Great.
It's just fantastic.
No.
You know, we went from trying to get a pilot show to getting 4 shows to now we're doing over 190 now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I think is fascinating about this, Dan, is that they were using you as this expert, and then finally you got the opportunity. And I'm not going to bring up the other people that do things kind of like your show, and there's only one Storage Wars, but it's interesting that you were doing that consult work and trying to come up with those things because of what you started out with the YouTube, and that just proves
absolutely trying to find a home for it. And you know, we let the other channels and production companies know a little bit. We certainly didn't tell them everything, and it's a good thing we didn't, because now we've got the edge and we've got the show, and we've got the original. And Miami's coming out. You know, they had a Storage Wars New York and a Storage Wars Texas, and now they're coming out with a Storage Wars Miami. We're going to be out on Tuesday, October 6th, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central. But at 10 o'clock,
Miami, check it out. You know, bienvenido Miami.
So that is
a 1-hour show, and let everybody introduce them properly to the the characters of Miami. Lauren, I don't have any horse in the race with that, but we're proud that, you know.
It's developed like this, yeah. That it's expanded to this point where it was one show on A&E, Star Wars, to all these different cities, and you're able to show that. So, no, it's interesting, Dan, that you took that shot, especially when you just did the YouTube thing. What was your reasoning? Did you think of people, like, when you did these auctions, you saw how excited people got and you wanted more people to know about it? Was that the thought process of the YouTube?
It's truly how it went. I wanted my husband's legacy. Being a third-generation engineer, this YouTube had come out, and we got the little camera, and we just wanted to start filming him, and then we realized business is picking up.
We wanted to also show that, our clients that are, that we're better than our competitors.
Yeah, and then, Danny had taught me at auctioneer, and I said, I'm going to try this and see if I can watch myself auction a little and get a little better just to help him out, and our account started to expand. YouTube, that boy, we put it out on there, and Danny being, I swear, like a Gatling gun, the way he can call numbers and see and do things is different from other auctioneers. He has an old age art of auctioneering.
Yes, he does.
Yes, that's got this rhythm, and now it's kind of a new age, an auctioneering into a cool thing. And
he's
pretty welcome, though. And I think that the folks with this YouTube and the things that have come out, anybody can be a pioneer. You hear all about these sensations and stuff come out. Truthfully, that is how it started. We were seen on it. My husband said, let's put it out there. Let's see if we can increase our business. And that is exactly what's happened.
And you're so right. And and you think about talking about the word pioneer and everything, I think it gives anyone hope to understand that you will be discovered if you put you have a great product. If you have a great product or service or have a great idea, you make sure you don't give up on this. And it seems like Dan and Laura did not give up on this. They said to themselves, this is going to happen. And it did happen.
Yes.
And you got the right production company, you got the right channel, and then they got the right casting. Because Laura, the
That's
cast
exactly
of characters.
Right. Laura and I used to drive 250 miles each every day. And when we would come back, we would put different people on our list, from Jared to Dave to Daryl, and we would rate them from 1 to 10, 1 being really great for the show and 10 being somebody that didn't have a chance in hell of being on the show, but they had a little interest. And we would come back and compare notes every day. So we were very
active in putting in
the and helping production get into the industry and get the right characters. And they've rewarded us well. We're of auctioneers on the show, as we should be, and they treat us like they treat us like the Duke and Duchess of auctions. So that's really nice, and we've had a fun ride.
And it's been a turn in the show. About the show being, it was really about the flyers and what's in the box, and Danny and I kind of being the MCs or the frame to the picture. And we've really been excited to say that last season and this season there's a lot more spice. This season you're going to see more about the little things that are going on, and Danny and I have really been excited to allow the cameras, coming around and
I get to see more of Dan and Laura. I get to see more of everybody, and that's cool. It's all good.
Special finds.
All of these shows on TV, they all change. They all have an evolution about them.
Truly.
They're successful, then they're going to change and they're going to grow. And we're still growing and we're still changing. And people, we have 1.5 million, 2 million core people that love Star Wars. They love us, and they're not going to let anybody say anything bad about it. And thank you to each and everyone you that are listening right now. Because,
right. You're on top for a certain point, but if you stay around and you continue to have your core fan audience, it'll last forever. It'll last to when you want to say, it's time for us to go. And that's
absolutely amazing. Some of the iconic shows in history, like Gilligan's Island or F Group or any of those shows. Twilight Zone, none of those hit 200 shows.
Can you believe it? You think, I watched it as a child.
Just think when it will live forever. And meaning whenever somehow, A&E finally, you guys get rid of the show's over, it might get picked up on other things. We don't know what's going to happen to reality television, especially a show like this. Because
we're in so many countries. It's like over 200 countries. It's in 31 languages. We recently got into the online self-storage business, and we purchased a company called StorageAuctions.net, where anybody in the nation can search, bid, and buy on storage units. And there's also live auctions that are searchable on there. So anybody that's into buying storage units, they should go to storageauctions.net.
Come get your stuff. It's free.
And that's the entrepreneur in you, too, for sure. And what I was going to say also, Dan, it's very, very interesting of this story is the fact that, you know, this is you love what you're doing. You're showing people the excitement of this, and you are constantly trying to reinvent yourself in specific ways. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But how did your lives change, especially like if you travel all over the world, you're recognized. In California, always recognized. How do you kind of keep, how going from a private people, you know, that were just auctioneers to public figures? I want the answer. How difficult was that for you, Dan?
It's been a very easy transition for us because I think in our minds we've always been rock stars, Neil. I tell you what we did do. Laura and I, we like a lot of simple things like RVing and quad riding, and we have a couple little cabins in the mountains, and we do gold panning and stuff. We do a lot of things that just really are just Laura and I going down the road, low key, down low type stuff. And so we don't get a chance to take a lot of vacations. We're so busy with our businesses that we snake away 1-2 days here, 1-2 days there, and sometimes we just slip away and we just don't even tell anybody, and we have a really great army around us that understand us, and they take care of things. And,
the cousins are invited there, too.
Well, we usually tell them if we leave account, but, you know, that's how we do it, and we love people, and we love the interaction, and you know, one of the greatest things about Storage Wars is the fact that families have got together around the show and got together and watched the show, and that's special. It makes our hearts really warm. So when we get a chance to talk to kids, to talk to fans, and they want photos, or they want to ask a question, we always give them the time because we love them. And
it's a special live product, absolutely, as Dan has said, that it's come from the families coming together. And you know, another thing, I think, you know, Danny and I, we were just talking the other day, and he said, you know, we get to spend more time together, and which is really wonderful.
Yeah, this show has gave Laura and I the opportunity to spend all of our time, much more time together. We're together all the time. I mean,
that's
it's kind of thick.
And it doesn't working. It's like we're dating.
So, see, that's fantastic for sure. Now, I'm looking at this press release, and you know, you're talking about how blessed and how exciting and how what an amazing experience it is with Storage Wars. But now, you guys have become the Beverly Hillbillies in a way that you struck oil. So tell us,
we're the modern day treasure hunt leaders.
Yes.
You know, and, don't matter if we're opening a storage store or we're drilling in soil or we're looking for gold in one of our claims. We're going to lead somebody to the promised land, baby.
Oh my God.
We're just having a good time, man.
Yeah.
We get lucky a lot. And, you know, it's going back to what we were saying earlier. If you throw enough crap against the wall and you keep flinging it against the wall, something's going to stick.
Yes, truly.
Now this property in Kentucky, this oil, this was just a deal. We were making some money on it, and then we ended up buying it back because the guy that we sold it to, after we made our commission, he had a little financial difficulty, so we bailed him out of it, and we put it in the drawer. And that's basically how it works.
Yeah, Danny says, someday we'll go check out this.
Yeah, maybe we'll go.
Maybe we'll go and, you know, build
something. Maybe we'll build a prepper, put a missile silo on there. We'll escape. We'll go live underground in eastern Kentucky. We'll have a bunch of brand new neighbors. And we just never have even got a chance to go back and look. I've seen photos. I've seen satellite pictures. I mean, I think I can get there. I have to take a trip back there. I want to go to eastern Kentucky. We want to go see our property. We're going to go do that in the fall. And we're going to film it. And we're going to take our quads back there and see if we can keep from getting shot up in our hauler by our neighbors. And we're going to see what happens.
My pretty camera, pretty exciting.
So, Laura, how is it, you California, but you're down to earth. Going to Kentucky, you can relate with the Kentucky people. It's not sometimes you California people, they aren't able to relate except to California. But
thank God I like moonshine.
I think I can answer that for Laura. You know, she meets people on more of a spiritual level. And, and although she likes really nice shoes and perfume, she is easy to please in a lot of ways. And
I'm really not high maintenance. I am, you know, I take about, I guess, an hour or so to get up, get ready, get myself going and stuff in the morning. And Danny's in and out. And I wish I could be quicker, you know, with things. But I am so organized and thorough. I just wish I could relax sometimes.
And she's good about giving herself up to people and giving her time up. So I imagine if the people in eastern Kentucky irritated her too bad, she'd just go down in her missile silo and lock the door.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The other side. inside of me. No, I'm teasing. I am a bear. I'm a mama bear also, and I'm also a lover. So I think that you really see the real side of me. I'm just a normal person.
Well, not what she was until that comic came out.
So tremendous. Now, the show, I want to get some clues. So you're saying now we're going to get to learn more about Dan and Laura. Dan and Laura always seemed like every time they were more going to the backstories of the people who were bidding. Now, Dan, we're going to see more of you in this season.
I think it all started with a big aneurysm. You know, when you have a double aneurysm and you survive it, and you really only have like 4 or 5% chance of survival, that gets everybody's attention. You get the whole world praying for you, and they're all different denominations, religions, and they all are thinking you positive, you know, sending you positive vibes and prayers. It's just a beautiful thing. And
yeah, I think they just realized, you know, Danny is a one of a kind, you know, and that they I really think that the response that the folks are giving out there is, you know what? I like Dan, and I want to know a little bit more about him.
You know, we've got a lot of things going. We haven't let it all out of the bag yet. We've always got stuff in our bag that we can pop out and throw out there, and we are kind of like adventurers. We really enjoy life, and since, you know, this near-death experience that I had about 1 year and 3 months ago, I appreciate life a lot more, Neil. And
that's great.
I think everybody should pay attention a little, because those are the things when you're at the end of the road that are going to be important. Not how much money you made, not how many heads or necks you had to step on, but really, what kind of relationships you make, how solid is your family around?
Yeah, you guys are so down to earth, and you were talking about Laura's spiritual, and now, Dan, I see that you definitely had an awakening in certain aspects because of almost near-death experience, and that's the important thing is every day live it like it's your last, and love life, and do and serve others, and I think that that's the key part, and use your gifts and talents, as you two have done, to build this Storage War empire.
Is,
I was about to say empire.
The empire.
So now, let Dan, I got a fun little thing.
We're going to conquer the world one storage locker.
Right. I get different celebrities that use certain taglines or different things. For example, William Daniels came and I asked him to do a Kit voice impressionation. But I want Dan for you. And then I also had Lynn Anderson, the country music singer, the week before she passed to sing Rose Garden. So, Dan, I would love you to go ahead and go ahead and auction off my wrestling boots. I used to be a professional wrestler. Pretend that you're auctioning off my wrestling boots now.
And all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Neil. I want everybody to pay attention because we're going to have a pop quiz here in about 30 seconds. We're going to sell one special move, but out of special.
Yeah,
Neil Hayes.
Yeah,
we're ready to go. I'm ready to go. And here we go. And a bunch of money. And I get 100% sure if you've been on this, you're going to learn a move. That's your favorite move. Sold out. You'll lay 100 bucks in pay.
Damn.
That was awesome.
All right.
So, any others things to promote? Have I caught everything, Dan? Anything more to add?
You know, we have our main company is AmericanAuctioneers.com. We do all kinds of auctions. And when you're in Southern California, come and see us. When you're in Northern California, come and see us. When you're in Arizona or Nevada, come and see us. Everything else is online at StorageAuctions.net. We need everybody in the country to sign up. You need to spread the word. And we have a YouTube channel at The Auction Guy Dan. We have Twitter handles with a lot of fans, and we love to talk to our fans. I'm Auction Guy Dan, and Laura, pay the lady Laura. And just come and see us. We've got Facebook, Dan and Laura Dobson, American Auctioneers. We're everywhere. Just go to AmericanAuctioneers.com. You can find everything.
And, of course, you know, our new show this October 6th. Night.
Double back-to-back shows, Storage Wars, A&E.
8-9 Central.
And 1 hour for Miami right after that. So Tuesday night, throw the remote control away. And
Huge reality shows. I have a friend who's on 90 Day Fiancé, and they're going to be on Sunday night. And then I'm going to be tuning in for you guys Tuesday night, tweeting out different things as well. So we'll keep it out. I'm never going to say the stations, but also got another great show, fresh off the boat. I had a star from that. So it's always fun to see the success. I know you guys are going to continue to do very well for yourselves, and you have a mission, and that mission's so important. And you're bringing something that no one knew about till you guys made it to the mainstream, that it's fun to go to auctions, especially at storage units, and that you can find hidden treasure. And that's so, so important. So again, is there a website, Dan, best website again for more information? is
DorgeAuctions.net. Sign up. It's free. If the seller, it's free. If you want to pay a buyer's premium, that's how we pay for the whole site. And that's where you can get auctions, storage auctions all over the nation. Or you can go to AmericanAuctioneers.com and talk to us there. That's where all of our social links are.
Oh, yeah. You can check it all out.
Well, thanks a lot, Dan and Laura. And Dan, I'll definitely let Chef Robert know that you were an awesome interview as well. And best of luck to both of you guys.
You tell Robert Irvine that I am one of his biggest fans, and that I appreciate him being a fan of Storage Wars also. I want to thank all the fans. It's great. Yes. You're great. You're doing a great job. Thank you for letting us do all these shameless stuff.
And what a wonderful interview, and your kind words. You know, we just feel blessed. And thank you so much.
Take care, guys. And best of luck to you. Take care. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, Neil Haley, and on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And I'm just a huge fan of this guy. I tell you, I look at him as an entrepreneur. I look at his physique and the ability to lead others. And he's doing some great things in the community as well. So I'm excited to welcome the program. Restaurant Impossible, Chef Robert Irvine. Chef Robert, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm doing great, Neil. Thank you. That was a great introduction. I'm going to follow you on all of those sites.
Oh, I appreciate that, Chef Robert. It's great to have you on the show talking about, I mean, watching you, how you're able to lead others. How did you learn about that? Tell me specifically how you're able to, so you could take a terrible restaurant and be able to help them in a short period of time to become successful.
You know, I was in the military for a long time, and I think joining the military at an early age teaches you leadership skills, teamwork, how to motivate people. And I think that's what has given me the platform to be successful in that area. Now, restaurants, no matter what business it is, a car business or restaurant business, they all need leadership, need guidance, and somebody to tell them what to do. That's where it comes from.
Well, definitely, and I think, and that's surprising. I didn't know about that in the background. I was looking at specifically what your foundation work and specifically how you're going to be honored. But so the military is something that you learned a lot of, how your structure, order, how you see how important a restaurant needs to be, how you have to have a leader, but also people that are going to follow people's lead and respect and understand those things. And as I've watched your show, but you're going to be honored on Saturday, September 19th. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, it was just yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I was honored. Yeah. But great. I was honored with the Medal of Honor Society's highest award, the Bob Hope Award for entertainment and services to our troops, which I have to tell you was the most humbling moment in your career, when something that means so much to you is respected and admired by those that you do it for. You know, sitting in a room full of 38 Medal of Honor recipients, and then the new Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford, Woodruff, and the owner of the Patriots. It's just, you know, Bob Kraft, when you sit in there and you listen to the stories and you see the dedication and what these guys have given for our freedom, it's very humbling. And to be recognized by those folks, the Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation and Society, is a big deal to me.
I'm sure it was. And is that have a little bit of some of the connection with your foundation work as well, with being honored with this award?
I work with Gary Sinise. I've worked with Gary Sinise over the last 4 years. His foundation, the Gary Sinise Foundation, Robert Irvine Foundation, worked together along with a lot of other folks to really make a difference. Gary has built 36 homes over the last 4 years with me, and or me with him, I should say. We do an Invincible Spirit Festival where we fed last year 122,000 wounded warriors and their caregivers. We do an event called Skyball every year, third week in October, where we feed 12,000 people. Cisco does a great thing. They give me all the food. We bring in military chefs to cook for, you know, 6,000 kids of fallen heroes, and that money goes to the scholarships of those kids. So the military is a big part of, you know, we travel 150 days a year with the military. I've got a restaurant opening in the Pentagon, and it's all about giving back. My food line, the Robert Irvine food line that's in stores, giant food stores, soon to be in Sam's and everywhere else, but the money goes to the foundation to help, you know, those people less fortunate.
So you see that importance for sure in helping people who are less fortunate because of the success you've had in your life, correct? And how you started and moved up the ladder in life and say, I got to give back for sure, it sounds like.
You know, here's the thing, Neil. When you become successful, we all get selfish, including myself. Mm-hmm. But we feel that it's about us. And then eventually something hits and you say, you know what? This is not about me. This is about the kid that's 7 years old that has stage four cancer,
yes.
A family that's lost a person in war, somebody that's sitting on the side of the road, you know, that can't afford, not through their own actions, but that they can't do something. Or, you know, somebody wants to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, or gain weight for that matter. It really is. It's just, I think I realized that a long time ago. That's why I started the foundation. That's why I wrote the book. That's why we started the food line. And that's why we travel so much, is to really, I want to leave this world with the legacy of something that continues.
And that shows you as an entrepreneur and also a philanthropist, seeing specifically that as an entrepreneur, you want to give back, but you understand as being a leader, you know, see certain people that say, hey, they want to give back, but you know exactly what you need to do. You need to be right in front of these people. You need to be out there in front of people and traveling to be able to make a tremendous difference. Not just lip service.
And I love the way you said that, lip service. I travel 345 days a year, my real world, 150 that with troops. But I want to be, you know, we'll be back in Afghanistan on December the 14th, deep in country with these guys. Let them know, guys and girls, let them know that we love them and miss them and stay safe. There are a lot of people that do it for cameras. I don't care about the press.
Right.
I don't care about, you know, it's about me and what I believe in. I believe that our job in TV, radio, newspapers, any type of media, is to highlight what these folks do. I mean, I sat in a room with 38 Medal of Honor, there's 79 living today, and you listen to the stories of the hardships of these folks have gone through and endured for freedom. And then you think of the children today that have no clue about those sacrifices and those commitments to our country. You know, a lot of people can lip service and get in the press and get a star and on the floor. There was a pitter, and one of those who he's like my, you know, my mentor, Gary Sinise, who I work with day in and day out, is a guy that's given his life to our troops and veterans. And that to me is, you know, I admire this guy. I mean, for me, he walks on water.
Yes.
And, whatever he does is in the same vein. He has taught me so much about humility. And yes, I'm tough and I'm loud when I go into restaurants. They have the same issues. They're failing for a reason.
Yes.
You know? And most of that is that leadership. You know?
And you can't get people's attention. I tell my wife, I'm 6'10", by the way, Chef Robert, and you can't get people's attention unless you're going to at least raise your voice at some times. And especially when we're big guys like you and I, when we raise our voice, it's really loud. We can't help that. And it's but we truly care. That's the difference. We truly care. It's you yelling and screaming at somebody and treating them like garbage compared to yelling or screaming them because you know you care for them. It's a different story for sure. Now, I saw also, and this is the interesting part, again, you were also recognized as U.S. Navy as honorary petty officer, chief petty officer. Can you also, here's a question. Now, where were you in the military? I know it wasn't in the United States, right?
I was, I was in the British Royal. I was in the British Royal Navy as a cook. I worked with the Marines for a short amount of time. And to be honored, and again, listen, these are things that I never asked for. These are, they're recognized by, I mean, Mick Pont, the most senior man in the Navy, pinned his own anchors on me. And that, Neil, is such a tremendous honor because they were what he was pinned with as a chief petty officer way back when.
Yeah,
it was a huge moment for me. And again, we're touching lives. You know, you said you're 6'10".
Yeah.
I mean, when you walk in a room, people listen.
Yes.
You know, they look at you and they're like, "Fuck," you know. So I admire all those folks that can really translate that passion into doing good things for good people. And you're one of those. So I appreciate what you do and what you highlight, because it makes a difference. My kids look up to everybody. I make my children, 18 years old and 14, two girls, Annalise and Tanya, I make them go to soup kitchens.
That's great.
And that, it used to make them. And now they do it on their own. They care about the community, and they don't care that, you know, dad's on TV. When you see dad on TV, it's like, oh, dad, not again. You know? it's like, let's go and do something different.
You lead by example. And that's the key. And then you first you model this. Hey, we're going to go do this together as a family. Then they just do it on their own. Once they say, hey, I want to be like dad. I see that dad is truly giving and serving others. And that's tremendous. This is such a great story to hear about Chef Robert Irvine today, live on the Total Education Network Total Celebrity Show. Thinking about your book now. And that, see, it's very interesting. I see that you're a big guy. But then I started doing some searching and Googling some images. You are really big. You could have been a professional wrestler yourself at one point in time. So is the military, that's how you got that build? Or where did you get that huge love for fitness? And now with your new fitness book, and you can tell us about that.
Well, way back when I was a sea cadet at the age of 11 in England, I joined the Navy at a very early age. If you look up after the show, look up Royal Navy Field on competition. It's no longer in existence. But I did that in 1988. It's taking a ton and a half of equipment over three lengths of the football pitch, and I used to carry a wheel those three lengths of the football pitches, which is 122 pounds on my shoulder,
swinging
as fast as possible. 18 men, the hardest event in the world, but it's how they used to take cannons and guns in the Boer War, you know, with men pulling them, not horses and whatever. So I did that in the Navy, and I've always been an advocate of fitness. But yes, I got married 4 years ago, Gail Kim, who is the professional wrestler. It really changed my feeling of how do you work out. That's why I wrote the book.
Okay.
HarperCollins wanted me to do a cookbook, and I said, no, I'm not fitness. Well, I know the age, right? And
yeah.
With Gail being married to me, I'm being married to Gail, and it changed my, how do I want to be big, but I want to be lean. I was eating differently. And that's why I wrote the book after HarperCollins said they wanted a cookbook, and I said I wanted a cookbook. I wanted people to be healthy and fitness. So I wrote Fit Fuel, and it's a chef's guide into healthy eating, how to not only purchase the product, but what to look for in the package, how to cook it, how to look for it, how to buy it, and then get the kids in the kitchen enjoying not only have the time with the family, but how do you cook, what does food mean to your life? You know, kids don't understand that. You know, you put olive oil into a Mercedes, it doesn't go very far.
Exactly.
So I teach kids, about 20,000 kids a year in Miami, what animals eat and what it does to their fur and all those sort of things. And that translates much better when the kids have fun. So that's what the book is about. How to get healthier your way, not my way. How to make the contract with yourself. What to understand on buying food, cooking it, all that sort of stuff. And it's already number one on Amazon. It's flat, so.
Oh, great. Congratulations. That's fantastic. And when you talk about the health and fitness guide, as you said, for Fit Fuel, is that you're looking at everyone needs to start eating and living healthy. Healthy lifestyle is an important part of it. And then just show, I guess, from learning from your wife that you needed to step it up. So have you stepped it up in the last couple of years fitness-wise since meeting her?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even my eating habits, I cook healthier now. I use a lot more acids and lemon juices, fresh herbs, warm-up. And I've done, you know, two covers of magazines. And I'm actually dieting right now. I'm in the gym right now before I leave to North Carolina this afternoon. I believe in this kind of total transformation. I don't feel crazy. I've got a kidney disease, polycystic kidney disease. I can't take aspirin and I can't take certain
things. Oh, my.
After long juice or bananas, you know. No, it's time to be very careful about how do I eat. But I'm getting ready for another photo shoot with Muslim Fitness.
Oh, great.
So I'm very excited about that. And again, it's not about going to a gym and pumping lots of iron. It's about going and getting your family and walking your dog, you know, kicking a ball, throwing hoops, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. I agree. And I can't wait. I was trying to get back into the gym again and get back in the shape I was as a wrestler, and something happened, and a freak accident, and I have a broken toe, lacerated toe, big toe, but I'm hoping that I get, when I'm healed up, I'm really ready to go. So I'll have to definitely.
Where are you based, Neil?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I live in Pittsburgh.
Well, listen, I'm coming there in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to get your number. I'm going to call you. I'm coming there in a couple of weeks. I produce my Fit Crunch bars there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We'll get a workout in together.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. That'd be awesome. Yeah, definitely. Definitely set it all up. That'd be unbelievable for sure. I'd be honored.
Will do, Robert.
Okay, that's fantastic. And so we have them on the line. But last thing is, I guess you have two other things. You're doing your tour. And that's the other big thing is, again, your interactive culinary show. You've been traveling all over for that. You have so many different projects, Robert, Chef Robert, for sure, don't you?
Yeah, you know, the live show, Robert and I Live, travels the country. This year we'll do about 60 live two-hour shows, which is kind of funny. It's kids of all ages, adults, grandparents. I started this 4 years ago when I couldn't get everybody to come into the restaurant because they, you know, restaurants in South Carolina and all this sort of stuff. So I wanted people to be able to touch and feel and ask questions, and that's why I did this show, and it's become, I think it's in its fifth or sixth rendition now, and people love it. We go from 2,000 to 5,000 in an audience, and it's the funny thing is, Neil, people never leave afterwards. They want to buy a book, they want to buy a T-shirt, they want to buy an apron, a knife, and again, all that money after the cost of the product goes to the foundation, so they're coming to have fun, but they're also giving back, and they don't realize at times that, well, you know, just bought that, take this picture, all that stuff is going to the charities.
Fantastic. And last thing is your show, unbelievably enough, the 12th season. And I love watching your show. I mean, when I told my wife, and my wife loves the show too, because she forces me at times to watch the Food Network. But I love this because of the entrepreneurial style of this show. The fact is that people started a restaurant, might have had a dream, yet they just don't know how to organize and order and keep their business in the right way. And you're able to do that in a different way than other people, but you really... You shake things up quickly, but they really see how much you care for them, for sure. And are you blown away? This is going to be the 12th season?
Yeah, I mean, it was season 12 of a show that started 5 years ago. It's very a successful show, obviously, but it's successful not because of me. It's successful because the success the people have. You know, we're about 84% successful in 150 restaurants we've changed. It changes week by week, you know. I can't hold their hands all the way through, although I do keep in contact with them. And you're going to love season 12 because it's ambush. I never used to know where I was going. They would expect me,
right.
But I never knew where I was going. Now they have no clue.
Oh, wow.
I can't step before. I walk in, and there we go. It's either yes or no. And I tell you, I've just finished the fifth episode of season 12, and our... Christmas special in Wyoming, and you are going to, I mean, up until this point, it's been an amazing show. I think it's got 10 times better. They have no time to think about me coming. They have no time to clean. They have no time to react until I walk in and said, hey, I'm here. And there are a lot, Neil, there are a lot of surprises. Sometimes you don't see me as me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Almost like an undercover boss where you kind of disguise yourself. Interesting. Giving us some real cool pointers for sure. Now, where's the best place, Chef Robert, to purchase your book, learn about where you're going to be, especially Pittsburgh? That is so cool for sure. And all the different things you're going to be doing, where's the best place to find you?
You can go on to chefirvine.com. You can find out all the information, where we are, what we're doing. And the links there to our foundation page. You can also go on to fitfuelbooks.com, or you can go to amazon.com to get the book. But my site, chefirvine.com, you can find me on Twitter, at Robert Irvine, Instagram, Chef Irvine. So, you know, and you can make a donation to the foundation that helps our men and women in uniform at, I think it's robertirvinefoundation.org. So, I mean, there's plenty of ways to find us. And I literally tell you where I am every day. So or where I'm headed to if I know where I'm going or when I get there. Hey, I'm here.
So Chef Robert, you know how important social media is to keep in touch with your fans and keep them going and keep them excited and engaged. That's so important.
And here's something, Neil. I do all my own Twitter. I don't do all my own Facebook because I need help on that because it's so big. But I do. I'm the only one that does Twitter.
Fantastic. I run about 12 people's Twitters and my own. So I'm a Twitter. I've really figured out Twitter in certain ways. So it is fun. It's a fun thing. Yeah.
I just love, you can help me with that. I'm still trying to learn it, but I do. I love it. It's me because I make spelling mistakes. I speak in English. I write in English and I speak in American. It's funny. My kids tell me that, but, I think it's great that we touch our fans and our friends and let them know what's going on, and that's important.
Well, I hope we end up connecting when you're in Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks. I'm going again to the doctors tomorrow, and I'll have to tell them, you got to get me well so I can work out with Chef Robert Irvine. And then it reminds me of one thing, the Hall of Fame Bushwhackers. I worked out with them when I was a professional wrestler in Canada, and they gave me one of the hardest workouts ever. I can imagine what kind of workout you'll give me.
No, it will be a good one. You'll definitely enjoy it.
All right. Well, good talking to you, Chef Robert, and best of luck to you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, @TotalTutor. And I love interviewing celebrities, and this is a very, very interesting one. My days of playing basketball, I love talking to basketball players, and I'm excited to welcome to the program WNBA star from the New York Liberty, Erica Wheeler, #3. Erica, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And Erica, when you think about where you are today, did you always think that you could be a professional basketball player growing up?
It was a dream. I mean, everybody have a dream, but to live it is pretty amazing. I feel blessed. And it just feels good to be able to, showcase my talent and to be able to do it in the Big Apple.
And especially, so growing up, did you grow up in New York City? Is that where?
No, I grew up in Miami, small town in Miami called Liberty City. The small town. We're going to say small town. We know Miami big. But growing up in Miami, I mean, everybody have big dreams of, trying to make it out, because I grew up in a not-so-fortunate area, so that's everybody's dream to, make it out. But to actually make it out and be kind of a role model to where you're from is pretty amazing, to be able to, hear people who you grew up with and, kids, tell you your role model and kind of ask you questions how you do it. And only thing I can tell them is just, stick to the grind. It's going to be ups and downs. So that's what I did, just basically stuck to the grind and kept moving. And, I had people around me that motivated me to, could continue to, do what I do. So that's the main thing, is just to stay motivated.
You stayed motivated. And how much hard work did you have to put in to be able to become a professional basketball player? How many hours in the gym did you spend in your career, especially a younger age, just constantly playing all the time? Tell our audience how much work it takes to get to where you are
today. There's no statistics for that. I don't care what nobody say, because you can't count it. Even when you're sleeping, you're working. So I don't think there's no statistics that can tell you how much work to put in. You just got to put in so much work to where you're tired. And even when you're tired, you still want to put in more work. That's how you know how bad you want it. So I don't think there's no statistics or numbers or hours or skill-wise of how much time you put in your game, how many shots. Like, there's no statistics for that in my eyes and with my beliefs. I just think that no matter what you do, just go hard at it. And if you feel like you can go more and more, just keep going until you can't. And even when you can't, you try to push yourself until someone tell you, okay, now it's time to sit down. We'll work at it the next day. But there's no statistics for that.
And it's the hard work. That's what I think you're trying to tell people, is specifically it's the work you put in. Sometimes you can't figure out the time. You just do it till you drop, pretty much work.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just you do it till you drop, and you do it so you. That's just like when you're underwater, when you know you can't breathe. How hard are you gonna fight to try to get some of your air? You're gonna fight it hard to get the air, so that anything you do and whatever is basketball, work, whatever it is, that's how you go at things. You fight so hard to where you can't even breathe, and then when you do actually get that breath of air, you still kind of you go even harder because now you know you survived something that was tough. And that's what I did. Like I just stick it out.
Absolutely, Erica. And when you think about it specifically, involving the hard work and effort, you put that in your whole life, right? You said growing up, you had a challenging life, right? Where you were growing up in Miami, correct?
Yes.
Growing up, yes. Can you describe a little bit of that to us and tell our audience?
Well, I live. If you ever heard the show called First 48. If you heard of this place called the Pork and Beans, I don't know if people know about that, but I stayed maybe 10 blocks from that area where you hear sirens, police, you know, killings every other day. So a kid with so much talent to, you know, fight through all those obstacles, because growing up you see so much and you can just get hip to anything because that's what you see on a daily basis. So you could either sold drugs or you play basketball. And I'm a girl. Like, I'm not built like that. So, I mean, I could have done it, but I chose to take a better route to, you know, use my talent. Something that I didn't even know I had that was good until someone, you know, told me, like, look, you can really go to school and, you know, get out of this neighborhood and do something with your family later on in the future. And I didn't understand it until I got to high school and college coaches start to come to the school and just like, oh, we want to sign you. We want to give you a $50 scholarship. And I'm like, Mama, I never thought about going to college, but my talents allowed me to, you know, see that it was better out there. So
tell us about mentoring. Talent. Yeah, some of the mentoring you went, who mentored you in that process. See that you're a really good basketball player, but also the game of life to get you to where you are today, especially education-wise, going to Rutgers University and being ready for all that. Who were some of the mentors that helped you through that process so you didn't turn to a life of drugs or crime in for where you grew up?
Well, my mom. My mom was definitely my best friend, my motivator. She's the reason why I go at everything hard to this day, because 3 years ago I lost her to cervical cancer. So still to this day, like, I do everything for her because I know what she did to, you know, kind of raise me. I knew the struggle that she went through to make me the woman that I am today and, you know, as strong as I am today. So that was my mentor. That was my motivator. That's the one who drilled it in me. Like, look, you ain't going outside, or if you don't finish that schoolwork, you're not playing basketball. So when you love something and someone take it away from you, you kind of try to do right. And that's what my mom did. Anytime I get in trouble or didn't do right in school, I couldn't play basketball. And I loved it so much to where I didn't have no choice but to, you know, kind of get my act together. And then my high school coach, Coach Adams, I've been knowing him for some while. That's when he kind of took me under his wing and kind of been a father figure to me and kind of just molded me into the basketball player I am and just took me to school, worked me out, and did all that. And my mom allowed him to, so those two are the real big impact on why I am the way I am, but mainly my mom because of the things that she's been through and that I saw. And it wasn't easy, and it was some tough things to see. And, hey, man, I'm getting kind of emotional. But, man, it was my mom, man.
Yeah, I understand. And it's so hard, especially when you lose a loved one, and it's been such a short time, but it drives you every day. I'm sure it drives you on the basketball court, and it drives you in the game of life to not slip up. You're a role model for so many kids mm-hmm. out there, and you don't want to slip up because your mom's watching you. And that's
right.
I'm sure that gives you that sense of peace. And days when you don't want to get up, days that you don't want to do things, It perseverance you to keep on going. And she made education an important part of your life too, right? School was important, grades, because a lot of people, I'm definitely going to share this interview with one of the girls I'm tutoring, that she's a young basketball player, great athlete, but she struggles a bit in school, and I keep telling her school is so important. Even though you have dreams of the WNBA, you have to constantly do well in both, because it's so important, because life after basketball, you're going to be ready for that as well. Importance of education at Rutgers, correct?
Right. Well, being that I didn't learn anything until I got to college. Honestly, high school, and I didn't really learn much, because I'm just to be honest, I was good. So I kind of got by with that. But I didn't learn until I got to school, because I had a coach, which is Vivian Springer. I had a coach that was a parent at the end of the day. She didn't care whether I did good on the court or whatever. She didn't care about that. When she was in my mom's living room trying to give me a scholarship, she said, I don't care about what she's going to do on the basketball court. I care about if she's going to get a degree, if she's going to be ready for life after basketball. And that's what sold my mom to, you know, saying that I think you should take this offer, because I already knew she was a great coach, but I just didn't know. And my mom gave me that closure. It's like, when somebody that's a complete stranger come here and tell you that they want you to get a degree, they don't even know you, and only thing they know about you is that you can play basketball, you go with that person. And that's what she did. Those 4 years I went to Rutgers, she molded me, as far as dressing, talking.
That's great.
Basketball came before it's talking.
Very, very interesting, Erica, when you're talking about specifically enough how a great mentor your head coach at Rutgers was, and seeing how she said you were getting getting the opportunity to do interviews and prepare you for the game of life, to understand specifically how you're going to present yourself, because you're a brand, especially now with the New York Liberty. And then when you retire, how you'll have your aspect of life, being ready for those interviews, being ready to be at the celebrity status that you have at times, to be able to help others through foundational work or in business or as a commentator, whatever. It seems like your coach was looking at all those areas. So when you make that choice after basketball, you're ready.
Yes.
So tell us about that kind of. So she having you do a lot of on-air interviews for media and stuff, making sure that you are prepared and how you represent yourself in that way. We were talking about that.
Yes. Well, as you know, each college team, well, Division I college team that's in the public eye, always have a section where they do media. And then every week on Fridays, we had to, no matter what we had, whether it was class, tutoring, no matter what it was, we always had to make room for media. And I didn't understand it until now that I'm a pro, that, you know, whatever you say, and if it get out on air in public, it's like, that's your word. That's
yes.
Whatever you say, whether it's good or bad, that's your image. And I didn't understand that until now. You know, so now I appreciate it. Like, the other day I talked to her, I just told her thank you for, you know, being the person that she was and instilling so many great qualities in me at such a young age, when I was like, I don't want to do this. But now I understand it. And I wouldn't trade that process for nothing.
So through that maturity process of understanding is, why are we doing all this? Why do you expect us to do these things? They're always the people that help you the most, as your mom was able to do, and coaches in high school were able to do, to then in college. So that when you have this opportunity, especially being a rookie and drafted by the New York Liberty, it must have been amazing, right? The whole process of the draft and getting this opportunity, right, when it finally came.
Yeah. Well, first I was in Atlanta, and then I was in Atlanta for maybe 2 months. And then New York ended up calling me up towards the end because a player got hurt. And he just basically saw something in me that, you know, I seen in myself that I felt like I was supposed to be in the league, not at home. So he ended up calling me, and, you know, he wanted to give me another shot. And I'm just thankful for it, because at the end of the day, New York is a big place. It's a big city. So for him to call me up, that shows me something, and it shows my fans that, you know, that I'm important to the league. For him to call me up knowing that they were playoff material, possibly could have been champions after yesterday, you know, so that was really big for me. That was a big accomplishment for me.
So basically the opportunity to get on a winning team like the New York Liberty and having that opportunity, how has this experience been? It's been a pretty interesting ride, hasn't it?
Well, to come in an atmosphere where there's a sisterhood, the chemistry is locked in. So to come in as an outsider, me just coming in, it shocked me because I'm just like, how am I going to fit in? How am I going to do my job comfortably knowing that, you know, these girls are already tight? But it was what I was thinking, nothing like that happened, because the moment I got there, all the girls welcomed me in. The coaches, you know, sped me up as quickly as possible. And it was never like they didn't want me there, because think about it, they worked their butts off all the way to get